The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. Ryan Tubridy with you at 3 minutes past nine this Friday morning, the 11th of October 2019. We're here till 10 a.m. The text number is 51551, and you can email ryan at rte.ie. Funny, the last time Baris and Leo met was in Dublin, and they were trying to trash it all out, and I played We Can Work It Out by the Beatles at the just after that to see could they or not. And then they went to the place. Did Colleen Rooney have her hen night in that hotel in Liverpool where they met up yesterday? So they were saying, and they met up, and it's a strange thing because, you know, there's this sort of sense of global anxiety about what's happening. There's no one's in charge. There's no adult in the room anywhere. And people are kind of nervous about it. And when I saw the two heads wandering around the hotel grounds yesterday, the Prime Minister and the Taoiseach, smiling and possibly breakthrough, for some strange reason, it kind of put me in good form. I kind of felt, this is good. It's been quite bad news for so long. This is hopeful. And while there's scepticism, I just was reading about it there before we came on, there's scepticism abound, and that's fine, there has to be, that's only right. But there's just this little sliver of hope. And that kind of, man, that's kind of nice. It's kind of nice for a change. It's been so grim and ghastly. So we will cling on to that shard of hope and maybe see if it brings us into better places. So good luck to everyone involved. And here's hoping. That's what I'm saying, hoping. Fake news has at last made it as a term into the Oxford English Dictionary, but the Huffington Post reminds us that the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, does not want Donald Trump to take credit for coining the term, which it says has been around for more than a century. They have dated the term fake news back to 1890. That's how long that's been around, but it has definitely been given a new lease of life in the last 2 years. So I think he can take credit, if that's the right word, for resurrecting it at the very least. There's one great thing about, because I'm going to read an email a little later on from a family whose nerves are gone because their 13-year-old has stopped reading. He was a reader all through the years and then stopped. And then the phones and all. I'll get to that in a second. But I've found down through the years, one of the great ways of getting kids interested, not just in reading, but in history, is the Titanic. For some reason, and I think it's the simplicity of it and the sadness of it, it's a boat. It's big. It went down and people died. So when your kid is 12, 13, 14, they can totally get it. And it's really easy to understand. And it's fascinating. So you can give as much and as little as you want information-wise, but it's intriguing, and there's great books about it, and there's illustrated books about it, and there's the film A Night to Remember, which is that black and white, beautiful, beautiful film, one of the best films I've ever seen, and one that you could watch on a Sunday afternoon if everyone's around, and maybe say, lads, we'll turn off the phone for an hour and just have a look at this, and you'll get them kind of hooked. But I see in the papers today, a Titanic survivor's guilt over his escape from the sinking ship has been revealed in messages that are going to go for auction. They're going to sell for about £50,000. The interest in Titanic memorabilia is enormous. And this is the personal archive of valet William Harrison, who died in the disaster. It's to be auctioned for the first time 107 years after the Titanic sunk. And it includes a telegram from Bruce Ismay. Now, if you're a Titanic follower, you'll know Bruce Ismay was the highest ranking White Star Line official to survive the sinking, and sent to Mr. Harrison's widow 4 days later, offering his heartfelt sympathy. And as managing director of the Titanic's owner, Mr. Ismay was villainized for getting in one of the last lifeboats. And this is more of it, the drama. Who got on the lifeboats? Why? Women and children first, as it was at the time. But some, remember there was somebody allegedly dressed up as a woman to get in to save their lives. The elbows in your rib cage as other people try to get on. It's just an intriguing story, as you know. In the James Cameron film, which, of course, with Leonardo and Kate, Mr. Ismay was portrayed as a coward for not going down with the ship, which he should have done, and many of his colleagues did. And Mr. Harrison was Ismay's personal valet, and the collection includes a 4-page letter he wrote home to his wife about how he was fed up with spending hours writing letters to post for his boss. And it goes on anyway. If you want to find out more about that information, you'll get it online. But Titanic stuff is very, very popular at auction still. The story continues to mesmerise. And the Titanic Museum across up the road in Belfast is a great way to spend an afternoon. If you haven't, if you're making plans maybe for your midterm, go and see it. It's wonderful, and especially if you're trying to introduce your kids to that side of the world, reading and history and so on, that'll do a job for you. Now, on the other end, and this is not a niche segue, but I'm going to do it anyway, Frances Brennan is doing a cruise. Now, this is going to be the best TV show of the year, arguably. He sets sail as Irish cruise holidays jump 20%. This is Paul O'Connell writing this morning. So Frances Brennan, All Hands on Deck, is going to be a three-part TV series that sees the hotelier sail the Baltics with Princess Cruises, and it starts this Sunday, October 20th. And it sees Frances tending to 3,660 guests, good God, on board the regal Princess by stepping into the shoes of entertainment director, hotel manager and maitre d'. I was very nervous, he says, but I just got stuck in. He's such fun, Frances, and he's got a wicked sense of humour. You know, he sees it all, and he's a great guy, very, very nice person, off and on the air, I have to say, very kind person. And you will, we will all be watching. That looks like a great programme, and I will definitely be looking at that. Frances Brennan, All Hands on Deck. That's great. I don't think I could think of anything worse than going on a cruise. I've said it for years and I'll say it again because I just don't think it's for me. I'd rather a train journey across land and whatever, but definitely not a cruise. Now, I know a lot of you might say, no, you have to do it and you should do it. And go. I just don't think it's for me. I think you're either a cruise person or you're not. And I don't think I am. That's a nice story there about a music bursary has been set up in memory of Dolores O'Riordan, established to support the careers of musicians in the singer's native Limerick. This is IrishTimes.com. It's a €4,000 bursary launched yesterday by Limerick City and County Council in association with the family of the former lead singer with the Cranberries. And Eileen O'Riordan, who's Dolores' mother, said she was thrilled her daughter's achievements had been honoured with the bursary. I think that's a lovely thing. Happy to mark that this morning, and good luck to everyone who's either applying for it or interested in it. And it's a lovely legacy for Dolores and for her family. A great TV programme when you're a child called Sesame Street, and it's set to reveal that one of its puppets' mothers had an opioid addiction. How about that? That's how things have evolved in that programme. It's amazing how insightful and prescient programmes like Sesame Street, even though they're for kids, they are just, I've always thought they're tremendous. Anyway, this is the character called Carly, was introduced to the show earlier this year as a Muppet in foster care. And she's set to reveal that she was placed in foster care as her mother had a grown-up problem, quote-unquote. A beautiful way of trying to introduce children to the harsh realities of adulthood. The numbers are extraordinary, but 5.7 million children in the US under age 11 live with a parent who suffers from substance addiction. I mean, it's just quite shocking. And in the episode, Carly tells Elmo and another Muppet about her mum's meetings and the special kids-only meetings where she gets to spend time with other children who are going through the same experience. It's very, very cute. Here's a little clip of it from The Muppet Show.
Thanks, Chris.
Sorry, I should say from Sesame Street.
Thanks, Chris, for watching me and Elmo while my mom's at her meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, it's no problem. I'm always happy to help her out. She's a good friend.
Yeah. What meeting did Carly's mommy have to go to?
Well, buddy, Carly's mom has been having a hard time, so in order to help her get better, she goes to a meeting with her group. They all sit in a circle.
Oh, Elmo likes singing circle time in school. Oh, does Carly's mommy sing songs in a circle?
Isn't that cute? I mean, they're doing the nice thing and they chat about all the meetings that they have to go to. And it's just nice. As I say, it's difficult for kids to understand grown-up stuff like death and sickness and illness. And for them to do that, it's kind. Right, Paul is in Limerick. It's funny you should mention the Titanic. I'm just reading letters penned by Lord Pirrie, chairman of Harland and Wolff. Why are you reading these letters? I think it's a lovely thing to be reading, but maybe you're researching something, but a fascinating thing to be doing on a Friday morning. Mr. Ismay lived in a holiday house in Connemara in later life, where he was known as Women and Children First, which is kind of cruel. There's a great book that I can't think of. I'll find it at home at the weekend on the shelf and come back to you on Monday if you really want to read one book on the Titanic, just one, and to introduce yourself. It was so interesting. I'll come back to you again on that because if you want to get into that world, this is your entree. Miles says, 30 years ago today, Our daughter Aisling was born in the Rotunda on the same day the Republic beat the North 3-0 in Lansdowne Road to virtually secure our place in Italia 90. And I remember, says Miles, the security around O'Connell Street that day, full of army and police. The match was played at noon on a Wednesday, such was the tension. I'm not sure, he says, if the North were allowed supporters. As we edge nearer Brexit, let's hope common sense prevails and we never go back to those awful times. I'm really glad you mentioned that, Miles, because Joe Duffy's on the show tonight. He's written a book called Children of the Troubles. If you can have a beautiful book about children of the Troubles, this is it. And one of my colleagues was chatting to the mother of one of the children who was killed in the Troubles yesterday on the phone. And I asked her, could I pass the phone over to me? I wanted to talk to this lady because clearly her story was upsetting, and it was upsetting her. And it was a terribly sad story. You'll hear more about it later on the Late Late Show. But it was one story. Her son wanted to be an architect. He played the flute and the violin. He was only 9 years old, and his life was stopped short due to the Troubles. And he was one of a list of endless, tragic, sad stories. And the point I'm trying to make is that, and the book makes it so well, is that we can never even dream of going in that direction, let alone fully back there. And that's probably why people of my generation and who have been and older, obviously, who are around for all those awful headlines and remember the news bulletins of death, 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 we'll never want to imagine anything so awful happening again. So we'll be doing that later on in a way that remembers and breathes life into the memories of these children, thanks to Joe, and I'll talk to you about that later on. But thanks for that, Miles. It's a brilliant text 30 years ago, remembering that and Brexit. That's why I think it resonates so strongly for a lot of us, the Brexit thing and the backstop thing and the border story. Text from Siobhan. We had the same attitude as you about cruises, says Siobhan, but we went on our first one 6 years ago and now just come back from our eighth and from the fjords in Norway, sailing from Dublin. They're just fabulous, but each to their own. Yeah, I shouldn't be so dismissive. I think that's probably a fair point. I think I should go on one for 2 days. Can you do that? Or maybe three and see. I just feel it's the claustrophobia of it that would probably do a job. But they seem huge. I see them down by the East Link Bridge and they're just getting bigger, bigger and bigger. It's just completely bonkers, but wonderful bonkers, which is good. Right, 51551 is the text number. We'll have Lucy Kennedy joining us in studio. She was up getting a cup of coffee earlier on. She's a force of nature. And she has a beautiful book called The Friendship Fairies, which we'll talk about. If you have any questions for Lucy, by all means, send them straight in to 51551. Paul and Nina, who I bumped into in town the other day. Paul, good to see you again and to talk to you. The book about the Titanic that you're trying to think of is Shadow of the Titanic. You're quite right. By Andrew Wilson, out in 2012. Great read. Good man, Paul. Thank you so much for that. Shadow of the Titanic is... if you want to read one book about the Titanic and pick it up this weekend, that one is the one. And even if you've no interest in the Titanic, it's that good. The stories, the intrigue, the human intelligence and the lack of human intelligence. It's all there. Shadow of the Titanic by Andrew Wilson. Thanks, Paul. Brilliant. Great. Feel the weight off my shoulders. I'd have to go rummaging through the shelves looking for that the weekend. Diana Ross, meanwhile, has announced that she'll be playing Glastonbury next year. She says, she's 75 years old now. She says she's the first artist to be confirmed to play the festival in 2020, which is exciting. This is a dream come true, she said. To all the fans across the world, this is my tribute to you. I'm coming to Glastonbury with love. She'll play the Pyramid Stage and she'll be brilliant. You know she will. Diana Ross.